Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Just the other day, Alan Jackson walked into a courtroom as Nick Reiner's attorney, and he walked out as his former attorney, telling reporters he had no choice but to withdraw due to circumstances, quote, beyond Nick's control. Then he said something striking. Pursuant to the laws of California, Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder. Print that! As he's very dramatic. 3 weeks of investigation, a team that worked every waking hour, and now he's gone, replaced by public defender Kimberly Green, who had 30 seconds to meet Nick before the hearing. Sources tell Deadline that money is the likely reason for the withdrawal. To help us understand what happens and why it matters going forward, we're joined by attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis. Eric, welcome and happy new year. Let's start with the mechanics of this. Jackson told the judge that he had no choice but to withdraw, citing circumstances beyond Nick's control. We all are making our assumptions here on what that means, but from your experience as a former prosecutor, what are the most common reasons a high-profile defense attorney withdraws from a murder case, and what does that phrase typically signal?
There are a number of possible interpretations, a number of reasons why a defense attorney may withdraw. Number one is money. Like you said, there's got to be funding for the case. This is a high-profile case. It's going to take months, if not years, a ton of work. Money could be at play. Additionally, there are other possible reasons. Sometimes an attorney has to withdraw because they have essentially irreconcilable differences with their client in terms of the legal strategy that's going to be used. Also, if a client wants an attorney to pursue an unlawful strategy or legal theory or something like that, the attorney has to withdraw under those circumstances. So a number of possible options, but money seems like it's at the top.
Do you think there was something ethical going on, that maybe there was some mistreatment behind the scenes of some sort?
Ethical grounds can be reasons for defense counsel to withdraw. In fact, they're commonly involved in motions to withdraw. But it's usually when the client wants the attorney to do something that the attorney either fundamentally disagrees with or thinks would be unlawful. And I have no indication that that's what's going on here, but there are a number of possible reasons why an attorney might withdraw.
The fact that he said that it's beyond Nick's control, does that kind of, like, if we're playing process of elimination here, that kind of takes out the irreconcilable differences and the, you know, unlawful. Doesn't that kind of, like, cross it off the list if it's beyond his control? I mean, unless he's saying crazy shit and he's like, nope, can't do that. I don't know.
You know, that's my read of that statement because, you know, what is beyond Nick's control? Certainly financial matters might be beyond his control. Mm-hmm. If Nick was not in a appropriate state of mind, meaning he wasn't competent, then the defense attorney could just raise competency as opposed to trying to withdraw. So, at this point, I think all signs point to money.
And obviously, this is our speculation on it. He was retained. Jackson was retained like within hours of Nick's arrest. I think everybody was almost kind of shocked just how quick we heard the words Alan Jackson coming into this case. And a lot of our eyes rolled going, oh, God. And now 3 weeks later, he's out. So if money was the issue, as sources suggest, why wouldn't that have been resolved before he took the case? Or was this something where, you know, Nick basically said, it's an IOU, whoever contacted Alan Jackson on his behalf. I don't know that Nick was in a place to contact Alan Jackson directly. I don't know. But however he got contacted, I'm just wondering if Nick said, oh, yeah, I'm good for it. And then they went to the family and said, okay, we'd like that retainer now, please. And it was like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
You know, that part, usually as an attorney, you need to have a projection in terms of when is this client going to be able to pay? How much are they going to be able to pay? Because typically you can't enter into a case and just, you know, leave a few weeks later because the money's not there. In fact, a lot of judges, that's really disfavored, and some judges won't even allow you to do that based only on financial grounds. And so I'm wondering if there was some representation made to Alan Jackson early on regarding the finances, and that representation was wrong, or if there was some kind of financier behind the scenes who had a change of heart. Who knows? That you know, a number of financial changes could have happened in a short period of time.
I think like that's kind of like the million-dollar question right now. Not that it matters to the case, but just kind of in this moment of the case of what happened. Did the family at one point in time think, okay, let's get the best attorney money can buy? Almost muscle memory, because that's what we do as a family. When something happens bad, we have the resources, and we just automatically get the best of the best to deal with whatever we're going to deal with. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's probably what they're used to doing. And I'm just wondering if there was a change of heart in those 3 weeks from family members going, do we really want to put mom and dad's money towards defending the person who actually killed them?
Sure feels that way.
That would be an extremely difficult decision for this family to make. You know, some have come out, at least in public reports that I've seen, and trying to put on or trying to show familial support to the extent they can under such tragic circumstances. But that can, you know, feelings can change, resentment can build, and the financial picture can change. You know, I'm not sure exactly how the state is being probated and how that's going to work, but sometimes there are creditors, sometimes there are things that come out of left field that really change the game financially and cause them to not be able to afford an attorney, which could be, I'm not saying it is, but could be the reason Alan Jackson sought to withdraw.
Was it just a gamble for him for these last 3 weeks of like, maybe this will work out, maybe it won't? Either way, it gets him a ridiculous amount of free publicity.
Oh, totally true. You know, there are a number of reasons why attorneys take on cases. One, of course, is money, but there are non-monetary reasons too, building your reputation, having name exposure, that kind of thing. Alan Jackson already has that. Not surprised if he would want more of that. He was all over the news regarding this case. And so I'm wondering if, you know, perhaps he looked into it and said, hey, this is really going to be a Herculean effort, way bigger than I thought going in. Any sort of fame payoff is not going to foot the bill for how much this is actually going to cost me.
Somebody in our chat said maybe a conflict of interest. You've got to think with these people in Hollywood, they probably have their hands in so many legal dealings that maybe there was something, you know, not nefarious going on. Just, oh, crap, we just found a conflict of interest.
That's a really insightful point. And honestly, as I was prepping today, that didn't occur to me. But I think that that certainly could be a reason. You know, if Alan Jackson has had any sort of interactions with witnesses who might be central to the case, has received information from them that could potentially be adverse to his client, or vice versa, received information from Nick that was adverse to former clients. There are a number of ways that a conflict can arise and require an attorney to withdraw, and that would be through no fault of Nick's. And so that could be in line with the statement Alan Jackson made as well.
Interesting.
The public defender's office was informed on just the other night, Tuesday night, that they would be taking over. So, like, boom. Hey, by the way, there's a hearing tomorrow. Green said they'd had no contact with the Reiner family and didn't think they were even aware the Jackson was withdrawing. That's a statement that was made. Obviously, you know, it's a perception thing. I mean, how damaging is this kind of an abrupt transition in a capital case? And how long does a new team typically need now here to get up to speed? They got till, you know, almost the end of February now. Is that enough time? I mean, to get up to speed here? We still have yet to have actually any sort of pleading take place.
I think it is enough time to get an initial read on the case. You know, ideally, you want to be on the case from the very outset. There are often investigation that needs to be done. There are interview witnesses who need to be interviewed, the surveillance video that needs to be collected. These kind of things have to happen up front. You're building your strategy. You're building your case on the defense side. And so if you don't have the first, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks of that, that puts you at a disadvantage. But luckily, they're early on enough in the case to where those defenses can still be built. A lot of that investigation can still be completed. And I think it's going to be fine that they're on the case at this juncture.
A lot of people, you know, they hear the word public defender. And, you know, depending on, you know, their experience, the jurisdiction they've seen this in, the cases they've watched, and they assume disadvantage. But the data over here, it kind of tells a different story. Between 2006 and 2015, only one defendant represented by the L.A. County Public Defender's Office was sentenced to death out of 30 capital appeals. The record of private attorneys, not that good. Actually, the public defenders have done better in terms of capital death sentences. Does Nick Reiner actually lose anything by having them take over this case?
Not necessarily. And I've said for years, you know, as a former prosecutor and now private criminal defense attorney, some of those public defenders are the best trial attorneys there are. They get so many reps, rep after rep, way more than private criminal defense attorneys. Now, that's the benefit. But on the downside, you know, they're often overburdened with a ton of cases. They have less resources. But on a capital case, the public defender's office handles way more capital cases than private attorneys. So they're more used to that arena and the legal landscape in terms of a capital case. And so it might actually be a tremendous benefit to Nick Reiner.
Yeah, I mean, anything like this, you want someone with reps. You want someone who has experience, not just talking a big game. And in a case like this, that might be the best thing. I wanted to bring up a comment that I had seen here. Did you hear Nick's response to the judge? He sounded like he was not even paying attention to what was going on. And it was kind of like I guess I can go with that. It was very just blah. You know, like you'd expect out of him. Maybe Alan Jackson thought it was going to be too much of everything to win the case. I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering what your opinion is on that. I mean, Alan Jackson certainly has experience with fairly volatile clients that, you know, have gone on national television, have gone on documentaries, essentially admitting their guilt, and he still's found ways to get them off. So I don't know. I mean, he's kind of a magician when it comes to his practice. He's very good at what he does.
Absolutely. And you know, you saw when he represented Karen Reed in that case.
That's what I'm talking about.
Popping off left and right in the media, saying things that were problematic for her case. Alan Jackson was still able to kind of swoop in and save the day. So I'm not sure it would be a client control issue or anything like that. I'm wondering perhaps if Alan Jackson had some mental health evaluations done, and perhaps the results of those he did not think were favorable and would allow him to win the case. And so that could be another potential motivation, hypothetically, for an attorney wanting to get off the case when they think they have a defense, but perhaps they don't.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Alan Jackson is out. That's the big headline, as you probably already know about. Alan Jackson is out as Nick Reiner's attorney. What does this all mean now going forward? We are going to break all of that down. Now that the dust has settled a little bit on this, we're going to be going through this in a series of videos over the next couple of days, but let's start somewhere, shall we? And while we do, I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, or on our Substack channel. The link is in the description. You can join that for free right now. That's a way to discuss this directly with me on our Substack. So if you want to get in on that, please do join us there. It, like I said, it's absolutely free right now to sign up, get in there, and join us in that conversation. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to us right now, by the way, whether it's Apple Podcasts or YouTube or wherever it may be. Okay, so 3 weeks ago, Alan Jackson was the million-dollar defense attorney building the insanity defense for the biggest murder case in Hollywood history. A lot of us chatting this up over the holidays, right? The guy who got Karen Reed acquitted, the guy who represented Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey, the guy whose cases cost five, six, seven figures. The thought process was, okay, well, he ain't cheap. Nick hasn't made a dime of money pretty much a day in his life. That's probably not completely accurate, but hasn't exactly had a track record of holding down a career. So where does one get the money for something like that when his budget is probably, you know, you might be pushing it if you're going to try and go rent a movie from the closed down Blockbuster on the way home. Might be kind of out of the budget, even though the Blockbuster is closed down and you can't rent movies there anymore. Still might be a bit too expensive for his blood. Well, you assume that family money must be taking care of this. And that kind of enraged a lot of people. And it should. It's another, on the surface, the way it appeared, if everybody's making their assumptions, and their assumptions are right, and it's not hard to connect those dots, that the very money that Rob and Michelle Reiner worked so hard their entire lives to procure would then be spent on defending and, again, rescuing the very person who stole their lives from them. Money that could be spent in so many other viable ways to help people who actually want help, who deserve help, who can thrive with help. Nick clearly not being one of them. And the idea of all that money going to have an attorney explain away under California law why he's not guilty. And he may not be not guilty under California law. That doesn't mean he didn't go to his parents and slit their throats and do what he did. It just means that it could be argued under California law, under technicalities of insanity defense, that he would be not guilty, quote unquote. Another episode of not being accountable for the horrible choices that he made. And it's not to say schizophrenia and all that's not real. It certainly is. But he has 32 years under his belt of making poor decision after poor decision that leads him into these scenarios where he goes out of control. And those choices were made not in the state of psychosis. It's a big debate. One can argue it 50 different ways. I can understand both sides to a certain extent, but what I can't understand is, after all of this time, is it morally right? Is it appropriate? Is it appropriate that the people you murdered are going to fund, or were going to fund, or you wanted them to fund the defense of your ultimate destruction project? Good news. He walked into a Los Angeles courtroom, Alan Jackson did, and told the judge, Teresa McGonigal, he had no choice but to withdraw, and walked out, leaving Nick Reiner with a public defender that he met 30 seconds before the hearing. It's kind of like, yes. Finally, This is exactly what we said should happen. And bravo to whoever made this decision, or maybe Alan Jackson. Maybe there was never a plan to fund Alan Jackson from the family. It was just all Alan Jackson reading tea leaves, thinking maybe there's a way to get some money here. Because Nick has not been convicted of anything yet, so maybe he still has access to some of those purse strings. Maybe when I found out he didn't, and the brother and sister said, F off. Again, this is my conjecture on what maybe happened. Your guess is as good as mine, but again, it's not hard to connect dots. Sources tell Deadline that money is likely the reason Jackson stepped aside. And if true, that means the deep pockets have dried up. The estate funding that sources said was paying for Jackson's services apparently ended or was cut off or just never happened, you know? Dive in head first. You know, worst case, you wasted a couple weeks, Alan. The pattern that protected Nick Reiner for 17 years, the pattern that sources said was continuing even after his parents were found stabbed to death in their bedroom, that pattern appears to have finally broken. Knock on wood. For the first time in his life, Nick Reiner will face consequences without his parents' money coming to the rescue. If only this happened sooner, right? I'm going to say something that might be controversial. This might be the best thing that could have happened. It is. And let me be clear about what I mean. I'm not celebrating Nick Reiner's situation. I'm not rooting for anyone's destruction. Any more than Nick Reiner was rooting for his own destruction, which he was pretty good at. And people like this do tend to just destroy themselves. They don't need outside assistance. And I'm not saying public defenders are inferior. Many of them are exceptional attorneys who do incredible work with limited resources. What I'm saying is this. For 17 years, money was the solution to every problem Nick Reiner created. Every crisis got a check. Every relapse got another program. Every outburst got absorbed, managed, handled. At least 18 rehab programs. $70,000 a month treatment. $10,000 monthly allowance, a rent-free guest house, a movie deal to work through trauma on screen, and when he was arrested for allegedly murdering the two people who funded it all, the first call was to the most expensive defense attorneys in the country. The pattern was still operational, even from beyond the grave. Rob and Michelle Reiner spent their lives writing checks to protect their son from consequences, and according to sources, their estate was prepared to keep writing those checks, funding a multi-million dollar defense for the man accused of stabbing them to death. That's not justice. That's not accountability. That's the same enabling that failed for 17 years, continuing in a slightly different, more creepy form. And now it appears that's over. Bravo to whoever finally turned the spigot off. Let's talk about what happened in that courtroom. Nick Reiner showed up in a brown jail jumpsuit, head shaved, shackled at the wrists and ankles. He sat behind glass in the custody area while Alan Jackson and two other attorneys from his firm, Caleb Mason and Miss Speranga, went into the judge's chambers for a private discussion. When they came out, Jackson told the court, "We have no choice but to withdraw as a counsel and ask to be removed." No explanation, no details, just we're done. Deputy Public Defender Kimberly Green stepped in. She's got 19 years of experience. She's not green. She was informed last night that Jackson would be withdrawing. She had about 30 seconds to speak with Nick before the hearing actually began. 30 seconds. That's what he's working with now. When the judge asked Nick if he agreed to delay the arraignment to February 23rd, he said, "Oh, yeah, I agree with your honor on that." Like the dope he is. When he asked if he waived his right to a speedy trial, he said, "Yes, I agree, your honor." Those were his only words. Then he was led back to jail. No bail, no million-dollar lawyer, no estate money, apparently flowing towards his defense. Excuse me while I'm happy about this. Just Nick Reiner alone facing the consequences of what happened on December 14th. Outside the courthouse, no stranger to cameras, Jackson held a press conference. And what he said was fascinating. And we're going to dig into this in another video here shortly. He told reporters, what we have learned, and you can take this to the bank, is that pursuant to the laws of this state, pursuant to the laws in California, Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder. Print that. As if it's 1987 and everybody's running to the print press. Quickly, stop the presses. Alan Jackson says to print this. He said his team had dropped everything when they got the call 3 weeks ago. That they devoted literally every waking hour to investigating the case. That they'd examined it top to bottom, back to front. Like a Lionel Richie album. 10 people got that. And after all that work, he's convinced, Nick is not guilty of murder under California law. He's talking about the insanity defense. He's saying the evidence supports it. He's saying he believes it would work. But he's not the one who's going to argue it anymore. When asked why he withdrew, Jackson said, circumstances beyond our control, but more importantly, circumstances beyond Nick's control have dictated that. Sadly, it's made it impossible for us to continue our representation. I'm legally and ethically, I am prohibited from explaining all of the reasons why I can't continue to represent Nick. Circumstances beyond Nick's control. Wild guess. Yeah? Wild guess. You know what's interesting about that phrase? For 17 years, everything was within Nick's control because his parents' money made it so. He could game the rehab system because they'd pay for another program. He could reuse treatment because they'd let him come home anyway. He could choose homelessness over sobriety because he knew the guest house would always be there. Nick had options. Nick had choices. Nick had a safety net made of cash. And for the first time, circumstances are beyond his control. He can't buy his way out. He can't rely on his parents' wealth to provide the best possible outcome because he killed them. The people who were always there willing to provide the best possible outcome to his idiotic choices that he did make with his own free fucking will. He murdered the hand that feeds him. He's in the same position as anyone else accused of a crime, dependent on what the system provides, now that everyone else around him told him to go push dirt. It's not tragedy. That's just reality. The reality everyone else faces. The public defender who's now representing Nick, Kimberly Green, said something outside the courthouse that caught my attention. She said, "We've had no contact with the family. I don't think they were aware that this was going on." Weren't we not? Me? I don't know. Again, pure speculation on the cash thing on Jackson. We don't know for sure. I'm going to guess, Kimberly, you're brand new to the case, like 30 seconds in. I don't know how much you do know about what's going on. So I don't know it's wise to make definitive statements either without actually having knowledge. Otherwise, that's speculation as well. Again, my conjecture. But just think about that for a second. If the family was funding the defense, if Jake and Romy and Tracy were using estate money to pay Jackson, or at least that's what was promised by Nick to Jackson, and then found out that Jake and Romy and Tracy all said, go, you know, pound sand, how would they not know he was withdrawing? But again, if you look at the scenario, they don't necessarily need to be in that picture. They could have simply gotten the call from the attorney's office saying, "Yeah, we'd like to run a card, please, a little down payment, little retainer." And they might have said, "That's not going to happen." And you got Nick on the other end going, "Well, no, it should work. It always has worked. The card always works." And then suddenly it doesn't work. They're like, "Well, sorry, card doesn't work. We don't have any other ones to give you." And then the Jackson Brigade says, beyond our control. Lake can't control the card. He can't control if the card's being denied. He can't control if they're not going to pay us, which he probably can't. And if we're not getting paid, well, we're not a charity. And he's not. And he doesn't have to do this pro bono. And he doesn't necessarily need the publicity either. Something changed. Someone made a decision. Either the funds were cut off, or there was a dispute about strategy, or the court determined Nick was indigent, or something in the investigation made continued representation impossible. Truly anything is possible. We don't know which, but we know the result. My speculation is really just as good as yours. It's just that. The Reiner family released a statement saying they have the utmost trust in the legal process. They declined to comment further. A source told the New York Times that Jackson's withdrawal had nothing to do with his performance. He'd been a pro. Yeah. And, you know, he was. I'm not here to say anything bad about Alan Jackson's performance. If you need a defense attorney, he's a good one to get. If you can afford it. He will find any magical way to, I don't want to say manipulate the law, but a way to interpret the law that will look best for whoever he is representing. That's his job, and he's good at it. That's why he makes the money he makes. Some may look at it and go, "Well, that's shady, that's slimy, that's this, that's that." Whatever you want to look at it as. Everybody does need representation in this country. And sometimes even shitty people, you know, can afford really, really good representation. And they get away with shit too, because that representation is so good. Not necessarily that it's following the letter of the law, or maybe it is following the letter of the law and it points out the issues with our letter of the law and how bizarrely ineffective they can be when run through the prism of a mind like Alan Jackson. Again, none of that is a negative statement towards Alan Jackson. He's a genius at what he does. A genius at what he does who's not going to be using those magical powers of his to help Nick Reiner anymore. So this wasn't about Jackson's work. It wasn't about Nick firing him. It was about circumstances, money circumstances, most likely according to sources. And here's what I keep coming back to. Maybe this is what should have happened all along. Let me tell you what I mean by that. For 17 years, the Reiner family's wealth created a buffer between Nick and reality. Every time he should have faced consequences, money intervened. Every time the natural outcome of his choices would have forced a reckoning, resources softened the blow. Nick himself talked about this. In 2016, he told NPR, "I am a spoiled white rich kid from a Hollywood family, but I think it's even more of a testament to how powerful drugs can be that you don't care about any of that stuff." And it's true. Addiction is a disease that destroys motivation in the human brain. He knew, he understood that his privilege was extraordinary, and he used it. He admitted to gaming the rehab system. He said he preferred homelessness to the programs his parents suggested. He preferred being homeless. Because he didn't want to have the consequences that they would let him face. Rob Reiner acknowledged the failure too. He said, "When Nick would tell us that it wasn't working for him, we wouldn't listen. We were desperate, and because the people had diplomas on their wall, we listened to them when we should have been listening to our son all along," which was, again, not a great way to interpret the information and operate. And we know how it ended. They tried everything money could buy, and money couldn't buy what Nick actually needed: accountability, consequences, a system that would hold him regardless of how many checks were written. Now, finally, he appears to have that. And I want to be careful here because the mental health component is real. TMZ reports that Nick was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. It is a serious psychiatric condition that combines symptoms of schizophrenia with mood disorder components. Sources say his medication was changed in the weeks before the killings, and that he became erratic and dangerous, that he was out of his head. And if that's true, if Nick was genuinely in the grip of psychosis when his parents were killed, then the insanity defense Jackson was building may have merit. The question of criminal responsibility is legitimate. The mental illness is real. But here's the thing. The insanity defense doesn't require a $1 million attorney. It requires evidence, medical records, psychiatric evaluations, expert testimony. All of that will be available to the public defender. The facts don't change based on who's presenting them. What changes is the resources behind the presentation, the investigators, the expert witnesses, the support staff, the hours devoted to building the case. And maybe that's exactly how it should be. Because if Nick Reiner's insanity defense is legitimate, it will succeed regardless of whether he's represented by Alan Jackson or Kimberly Green. The evidence is what it is. The law is what it is. California's insanity standard doesn't require a client to afford a $2,000 an hour attorney. If the defense only works when you have unlimited resources, then it was never really about justice. It was about money buying a better outcome. That's exactly what's been happening to Nick his entire life. DA Nathan Hochman stood outside that same courthouse today and said, "We are fully confident that a jury will convict Nick Reiner beyond a reasonable doubt of the brutal murders of his parents, Rob Reiner and Michelle Singer Reiner, and do so unanimously." He's prosecuting this case with his office's full resources. Deputy DA Habib Baleen is leading, the same prosecutor who handled the Menendez brothers' resentencing and the Robert Durst trial. This is a serious team. And now, for the first time, they're facing an opponent who does not have unlimited resources to match them. Some people might say that's unfair. And Nick deserves the best possible defense, and everyone accused of a crime should have access to the Alan Jacksons of the world. And in principle, sure, I agree. If there was that many Alan Jacksons to go around, our system should provide excellent representation to everyone, regardless of wealth. But in practice, that's not how it works. Unless you're going to suddenly breed groups of people that are magically that competent and that good and that well, doing that well at what they do, so everything across the board is completely equal, and then good luck, go do it and show me, let me know when you got that done. But unfortunately, this is a game of skill to a certain extent. Maybe AI will level that table out a bit as the years progress. But in practice, again, it's not how this works. Most defendants get public defenders. Most people facing murder charges don't have estates worth $200 million funding their representation. Most families can't hire the attorney who got Karen Reed acquitted. Nick Reiner is now in the same position as everyone else. For the first time in his life, he's operating without the advantage of his parents' money. Yeah, that's not injustice. That's the absence of privilege. Rob and Michelle Reiner spent 17 years trying to save their son. They loved him. They worried about him. They feared for him. And according to sources, they feared him too. They did everything they could, depended on everything that they could put out there, deployed every available resource, and it wasn't enough. And then they died, allegedly at his hands, in their own bedroom, stabbed to death. And even after that, even after the blood in the hotel shower and the bodies in the master bedroom and the daughter who had to find them, their money was reportedly still being used to protect him, to fund the best possible defense, to give him advantages that other defendants don't have. The pattern was apparently continuing from beyond the grave. Now it appears that it's not. I don't know if Nick Reiner is technically guilty of murder under California law. That's for a jury to decide. I don't know if mental illness rises to the level of legal insanity. That's for psychiatric experts to evaluate and a court to determine. But I do know this. Whatever happens next, it will happen on a more level playing field. Nick will have competent representation. Kimberly Green has 19 years of experience. And the LA County Public Defender's Office handles serious cases every day. He'll have access to investigators and experts. He'll have his day in court. What he won't have is his parents' money tipping the scales in his favor. And for the first time in 32 years, Nick Reiner will face consequences without someone writing a check to soften the blow. Rob Reiner once said that during Nick's worst years, he and Michelle wondered if there was an end in sight and whether it would be the tragic one that a voice in the back of their heads kept telling them was coming. The tragic ending came. It came for them. And now finally the pattern they couldn't break in life appears to have broken in death, not by choice, not by design, but by circumstance. Circumstances beyond Nick's control, as Jackson put it. The money apparently stopped. The prosecution ended. The buffer between Nick and reality dissolved. He'll face his arraignment on February 23rd with a public defender by his side. He'll enter a plea, the case will proceed, and for the first time, the outcome will depend on the facts and the law, not on who can afford the most expensive legal team. That's not a tragedy, that's accountability. It's 17 years too late, but it's finally here. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi if you're not already there. Or on our Substack. The link is in the description. Hiddenkillers.substack.com. That's where you can interact with me directly on our Substack. So if you want to do that, you have any thoughts on this, you want something maybe on the air, like, hey, do you ever think about talking about this angle? You know, you can communicate directly with me, and it's all free right now for a limited time on our Substack. So please do check that out. Again, link in the description, hiddenkillers.substack.com. And YouTube. Be sure to comment there if that's what you're using. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to us or watching us. If it's Apple Podcasts, hey, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're finding our reporting valuable. Those few seconds it takes to type a little something, it does wonders for signaling to others that you're valuing our reporting, and then others discover us as well. So if you've found value in this, please do leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. All right. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.